Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. That's right, you're not from Texas. Texas wants you anyway. So I was.
All right, so I'm sitting here at WorldCon in San Antonio with, do you prefer Mike or Michael?
Mike is fine.
Okay, Mike Martinez?
Yes, Michael J. Martinez in the book, but that's fine too.
That's fine. And this is your first WorldCon.
This is my first science fiction fantasy convention.
Ever. Across the board.
Across the board. I've been a fan, but never to the point of going to a convention. I will read it, I will watch it, I will enjoy the heck out of it, I will quote it extensively, and by the way, walking through here is like walking through movie quotes.
Yes.
It's like, I'm just hearing them left and right, and it's hilarious. But yeah, it's my first time here. And they have me moderating panels, which is fantastic.
Never had the urge to go to a Creation Con and see, like...
Just usually too busy.
Okay.
Usually too busy. I mean, you know, up until... less than 6 years ago, I was a reporter full-time, and that's a 50 to 60 hour a week job.
Right.
And a wife and a kid and everything else, it's like, I need hobbies that are a little bit more contained. So now that I'm not doing that and I'm doing something else, it's just a lot better, and I can go to stuff like this. I mean, it certainly helps that now, because I am a published author, this is a tax write-off.
I love tax write-offs. Yeah.
But it's been a great experience. It's fantastic.
I forget where it was. I think it was with Murr, and bought something, and I said, don't forget the receipt, because you can write it off. And she's like, oh, yeah.
Everything I do here is a write-off. It's fantastic. Plus, my wife is a travel writer and blogger. Thus, our vacations are quickly becoming write-offs as well.
Double,
so,
yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, flash forward 25 years, we're going to be, like, in the Winnebago driving to national parks. We're both going to be taking turns driving and writing, not at the same time, but and just sort of, you know, monetize our way across the country.
Well, but in 25 years, you'll have the implants that'll just transfer your thoughts directly to your console.
That would be
fun. You
won't
even have to type.
Except when you drift off on thoughts and all of a sudden you're like My Little Ponies and it's just... And it's wrong.
So let's get into your first con here in a second. First off, though, it's been a little while, so why don't you tell our listeners who you are and what you do?
All right. Again, Michael J. Martinez, and my debut novel, The Daedalus Incident, is out as of August 13th. It had about 6 release dates, 3 of which actually stuck. So the ebook came out in June, and then the print was out August 13th, but was kind of available before. And then the audio was definitely out on the 13th, which was great. And I'm just, after everything that happened with Skyhorse and Nightshade, I'm just so happy that it's out there. I've seen it in bookstores, and it's gorgeous.
Right.
I really, you know, they had to stop me from pawing it a little bit. The kids were scared.
You got caught up in the whole Nightshade stuff.
I did.
Yeah.
My original release date was May 7th. But Nightshade had its issues, and throughout April was working with Skyhorse and Start to get all the assets acquired. So that obviously pushed the release date back, but Skyhorse, you know, I can't say to what their editorial is like yet. I'm optimistic. They have smart people there. I've enjoyed, you know, interacting with them so far. But on the business side, they have it together, which is, you know, they're smart. There's publicity. There's placement in bookstores. I actually looked for my book in a Barnes & Noble with my daughter, and we looked in the science fiction section, and we couldn't find it.
Oh no!
And we looked in the new releases. It was in the science fiction new releases. It wasn't there. I thumbed through the alphabetical order of the backlist. It wasn't there. And my kid was great. She's like, "Well, Daddy, maybe it's sold out." I'm like, yeah. But she kind of pushed me to ask the information lady, and it turns out I had walked right past it because it was on the new in paperback table.
It was on a different table.
And I'm like, "It's up front. It's new in paper." And then I signed stock, and it was great. And I'm signing it, and I'm like, "Oh, this is so cool." And the kid behind the counter is like, "Uh-huh." And I'm like, "Well, this is my first time." He's like, "No, this is cool for you. I get it." And I'm like,
"Well, he doesn't know everything that went through to get there in the first place, you know."
And this was in Glendale, California, and apparently everybody stops there to sign. So it was still fantastic. So well, it's out, and thank God.
I find it interesting. I've been getting the publicity emails, and Stina kind of schooled me because I was bitching about their emails. The subject line on the email comes through, and on my desktop mail and my phone mail,
mm-hmm.
the subject says Nightshade Publishing / like a the not a slash but like the bar,
straight line, right?
The bar, Nightshade Publishing /Start or Nightshade Books /Start Publishing,
right?
Now think about that for a second. Nightshade Books start publishing.
They've been publishing.
It sounds like almost like a vanity press email. Right. It's like, hey, you want to start publishing? Come to Nightshade.
Oh.
And so I'm like, what the hell are they doing? And I started getting all these tweets from Jonathan Strawn and Stina. All the people are like, no, start publishing. That's the company now. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense. They need to fix their email.
Yes.
Because it still sounds like some sort of vanity press. You know, it's like, Publish America, start publishing. You know, I love the face you just made. You're like, oh, crap.
Yeah, no, it's... I will make sure that changes. I got to talk to somebody over there. Because really, I actually think they are competent, good publishers. I mean, their stuff is there. And my book is in a real accessible place. And I've seen it. I've seen it in the dealer room here, which gave me no shortage of joy.
Yeah.
So,
did you sign them?
Not yet. I had planned to, but so it's fantastic. It's quite a lot of fun. I think we're going to be okay. I hope so because I'm doing two more with them.
Good.
So.
What do I know?
Okay. The second book is called The Enceladus Crisis.
Enceladus. Okay.
Which is a moon of Saturn.
Right.
The Enceladus Crisis is due out in the spring, in the April, May timeframe, depending on...
And I want to say that the email that I got actually was talking about that already. Because it was Daedalus is out.
Mm-hmm. Enceladus is coming.
Enceladus is coming.
Yes. Because we had just signed, the day before Daedalus was officially out, finally... They announced the sale.
Nice.
So the sale of Enceladus, and then the third as yet unnamed book, because it's as yet unwritten, and that'll be fun, writing on deadline like that. So so those two are coming out, and the third one will probably be out towards the end of 2014, possibly early 2015, depending on whether I can turn the current two paragraphs of writing on this book into a full 150,000 word book in a short amount of time. I like challenges.
You can do it.
I can do it.
It'll work.
I think so. Yeah. No, it's...
You need to quit going to cons and just sit down and write.
I also have a day job and a family. So, but it's been a fun ride. I mean, basically getting Daedalus out, that to me was like the big hurdle.
Sure.
Everything else after that is just a bonus, and I'm just enjoying the heck out of it. And being here is crazy. Well, and having people come up and say, I just, Wes Chu came. I was like, I just bought your book. I'm like, hugs. Give me hugs. That's awesome. And then he ran. No, that didn't happen. But, and I've heard great things about your book. I've read your book. I like it. I'm like, this I could get used to this. This is fun.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
Well, in Worldcon, I was trying to explain it at my day job. Because there... I call, regular people muggles or mundies, depending on if I'm reading fables or if I'm reading Harry Potter. But muggles or mundies, their experience with conventions is San Diego Comic-Con or a Star Trek convention.
Yes.
Right? And at both of those, you have tons of people dressed up in costumes. And Worldcon is a literary con. You have a few people dressed up in costumes.
There are a few. I've seen a few.
There's a few, but the majority of people here... it's a literary con. They're here to meet authors.
Yes.
There's no actors from Star Trek here.
Right.
There's no, Warehouse 13 people here.
And nobody's dressing up as an author.
No. No one dresses. Well, that's not true.
They're all dressing up as authors because we don't dress any different.
No. I've seen a bunch of George R.R. Martin clones.
Oh, that's
they're all
hilarious.
Wearing the hats.
Really?
They've got
seen
the beards.
Yet. Oh, that's great.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, bless his heart.
I'm almost thinking that he like seeds them through the con to distract people.
It's like the end of the Thomas Crown Affair, the remake they do with Pierce Brosnan, where everybody's wearing the bowler hats and running about. That's awesome. That's so smart.
But so I'm explaining it to the folks at work. How this is. This is the literary con. Here, authors are superstars.
Yeah.
It's great that you can sit down. And there was an editor that I did an interview here with yesterday, and she and I were talking. She's with a small press, and I was telling her that. If she really wants to meet people, just sit in the bar for a little while.
Yeah.
And people will suddenly be around you. And she didn't quite believe me. And then last night, I saw her, and I waved her over, and she came over, and I said, how's it going? And we kind of had a little chat. And as I'm talking to her, here comes Shannon McGuire. And Shannon's like, Patrick, come here and give me a hug. And so I go down and give her a hug. And then Lee Harris from Angry Robot is there. And all these people just start to show up and have a good time in the bar.
Yeah.
And the editor, this was her first con as well. And she pulled me aside about an hour later and she says, "You weren't kidding." And I go, "No, this is where you can meet all these people."
Yes.
And you can have a good time and talk to authors about their books. And they love it when you talk to them about the books.
Yeah, that doesn't get old.
No.
It doesn't get old at all. People have come up and, you know, talk to me about the book. People have come up and, you know, talk about the Skyhorse stuff and everything else. And I'm just like, this is great. And I'm kind of amazed at, I mean, this is a core fan sort of world. But I'm still rather amazed at how many people have heard of the book. And wow, this sounds great, or wow, I've read it, and it's so cool.
Yeah.
And I've had some people ask me to sign books, and that will never get old. That's fantastic.
What's your favorite moment so far from your first WorldCon?
I did a panel this morning. It was on first-time publishing surprises, so I was very qualified to actually be there. And I'm introducing myself, and I said, "Yes, my novel's from Nightshade." And it debuted 3 weeks ago, and they just burst into applause. And I'm just like, man, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And I'm like, stop, and then go buy it. But it's just such a great moment of solidarity, and just a great moment of just people excited for your success as a debut author. And that right there, I think that's going to be hard to top.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm moderating my first panel at 5 o'clock today, so we'll see if that's an even better moment or if I get tossed from the convention.
Who's on the panel?
Nancy Kress.
Okay.
And her husband,
okay.
Jack. Yeah. Jack Skillingstead and Christopher McPitcher. So we're talking about whether can hard science fiction be too hard? And so that should be interesting, because in my book I do have a small section of very hard science fiction. And then I crash a frigate into it. And so, you know, I'm certainly not too hard on it.
There's an interview that's in the can with Nancy Kress that may or may not be live by the time people hear this. Because I did it before WorldCon, and I promised her that it would come out. But there's a great... Basically, she's like, "What do you read, Patrick?" And I said, "Well, I read a lot of urban fantasy and epic fantasy." And I said, I kind of like space opera. I'm not really into hard SF. She's like, "Well, then... why did you invite me on your podcast?" I'm like, "Well, because my listeners really like hard SF." Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. There's a guy in my writer's group. He writes great stuff that is so far over my head, I have no idea what's going on. But I realize it's written well.
Oh, yeah. I had that experience with The Quantum Thief by the author whose name that is very Scandinavian, and I can't remember the name. But and that was very, very... far out, hard, intense, futuristic SF on a quantum level, literally. And just, I'm like, I don't know what's going on here, but this is great.
You realize, even though that you're not getting it, you're like, this is good.
This is fantastic. And just the leaps of imagination within the possibilities of technology going forward, I'm like, wow. It just blew my hair back. It was fantastic.
Well, I told this guy in my writer's group, the third time he put in the story, and I looked at it, and I couldn't tell what had changed. My note to him was, just fucking submit it.
Yes.
Okay? It's done. There's no more reason to try to stir this pot. It's done. And he did, and he got it published.
There are definitely times where it's like, you could go back. I occasionally, like, I did a reading in Redondo Beach at Mysterious Galaxy. And I'm reading through, and I'm like, I actually skipped a paragraph. Because I'm like, I don't need this paragraph. and you know what? I'm like, yeah, you could continue noodling and gripping with a piece, whether it's a novel or a short story or anything. You could keep doing it. I could do it 20 years from now on the stuff I've written. There comes a point where you just have to go. Get it out there. It will never be perfect. But if you can look at it and as a whole say, you know what, this is, I'm proud to give you this, even though it's not perfect, then that's your moment.
By the way, did you hear that George Lucas married his longtime girlfriend?
I did.
And they actually had a baby.
Wow.
And he was very proud of the child. He's very proud of everything. But he did say that he will fix the birthing video in post-production.
And then we'll get the special edition.
Yes, and then get the special edition. Yeah.
And we'll change the ending. Oh, look, it's a girl instead.
So this has been a really good con so far. I like the location. I like that, you know, we're not that far spread out. It seems like this is the con bar. We're sitting up above it right now, kind of looking down on it. So it's easy to find people.
Yep.
Now, have this is your first con. Are you getting how things work and that everybody's in the bar and
it's fantastic. I mean, I was one of the hosts of the Booksworn party last night.
You're making people eat bugs to get books.
Exactly, and many people did. I was very gratified. I brought 6 copies and in less than 2 hours they were just gone. And I'm like, that's great. And I actually credit the cover by Sparth to.
Did you get to pick which bugs people were eating?
The place was packed. There was a point where I looked over at the table and they were gone. I'm like, I hope people ate bugs. because I didn't see it. But yeah, it was fantastic. And definitely, we went, a couple of us with the Nelson Literary Agency, Jason Ho and Mike Underwood, Betsy Dornbusch and I, went downstairs with Hugh Howey so we could find Gail Carriger. And she's in the bar, and there's just people holding court down there. And we pulled her out for the group photo. And just, yeah, I mean, the parties, the bar, everything has just been... That's where you really do meet people and you meet fans, and it's been great. Now, do I have the stamina to go back, you know, into the ring tonight? I don't know. I am so out of practice on this stuff. So we'll see, but it's been a great thing to understand just how it all works, and it's been a blast.
It's called Mountain Dew.
Oh man. I haven't done that since college.
Yeah.
I mean, I subsist on coffee, but Mountain Dew is
my thing growing up in Fresno, we had Trader Joe's. Trader Joe's sold Water Joe, which was caffeinated water. And it was a regular bottle of water, and it had the same amount of caffeine as a cup of coffee.
Wow.
But no bitter aftertaste, nothing like that.
And it could certainly hydrate you better.
Right. And so I started drinking that, and then started getting the ideas that you could use that to make ice to pour your Mountain Dew over.
Oh, dear God.
Or you could use that to make
brew
ice.
Coffee.
You could use it to make ice, then brew your coffee, pour it over the ice, have an iced coffee that had extra caffeine from the water.
Or just take the water jar and brew the coffee with it.
Now, I just told the guys at work, you can actually get caffeinated soap from ThinkGeek.
I love ThinkGeek.
And what
no
that
idea.
Does is, it because it goes right into your skin, it seeps right in on your skin sucks it right out,
boom,
caffeine.
Yeah, I have a feeling that those are approaching heart attack levels. Like, you know, you wash yourself with your caffeinated soap, then you have your coffee with the Water Joe in
now
the coffee,
imagine,
and then the Water Joe ice, and then you keel over because your heart explodes.
Imagine that you build your own shower with a water tank. You fill it with the Water Joe, and you use the caffeinated water.
And literally, your skin falls off
because
you're just like, it's so excited to get moving. Oh my God.
This is how we could actually make a real world Flash. Because he would just be vibrating so much.
My God. That really does. I mean, you have to. Don't try this at home.
Yeah.
You have to be in like such peak condition to withstand that amount of stress on your body.
We should have a disclaimer, like SF Signal does not endorse anything Patrick has just said.
Yes, and no sane person should, but you know, it's pretty creative.
Yeah, a lot of people are doing naps.
Yeah, I was talking with Emma Newman, she's like, yeah, I just had a 2-hour nap. I'm like, I'm jealous. I spaced out my convention schedule so that it really doesn't afford me a nap, although I think I might do that after dinner before the parties, except I may not wake up till the following morning. So we'll see, but... yeah, it's been a surprisingly packed schedule for me too. I mean, it's like, you know, panel, you know, help babysit the SIFA booth. I'm doing podcasts here, and then another panel, and this and that. And I am busier than I thought I would be, which is a wonderful thing.
I actually take a page out of Anilio's book, John Anilio.
Mm-hmm.
He very rarely ever goes to panels at a convention. He just hangs out at the bar.
Nice.
Because everybody eventually comes to the bar, you know? And I will tell you that I went over to the convention center to get my badge and my Hugo pins and my invitations and all that kind of good stuff. And then I went back over there one time to go through the dealer room. And that's it. I haven't been back over there yet. You know, I've just, I scheduled myself with interviews, and I've been over here.
Yeah.
Now, I do have three panels that I'm on. One of them I'm moderating.
Right.
But they don't start till Sunday.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, I have not been to an actual panel yet as a witness.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really perused the schedule so much yet. I plan to. I have some free time on Sunday. But I don't have much until then. So
gotcha.
We'll see. You know, it's great. I mean, I'm doing a signing at the local bookstore a little bit out of here to sort of bring the con to the masses, hopefully.
Sure.
With Kevin Hearn and Mike Cole and a bunch of awesome people.
Iron Druid and Ops Point.
Yes. Oh, fantastic stuff.
I think I've heard of Mike Cole before. He's a really short guy. Thinks he's like a military something or other.
You can challenge him on that if you like.
He likes to like give people coins. I don't know what that's all about.
Oh, challenge coins. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, that just seems so. I don't know. And you know, Cole, I'm so over him. He's like so yesterday.
Well, originally we were gonna call the event 8 Fantastic Authors and Mike Cole.
Right.
But that was shot down.
See,
now Mike's a mensch. You can't do that to him.
I think he had his Fonz jumping the shark moment last night when Sam Sykes carried him from the bar all the way across the lobby over to that point.
Oh, well. He didn't jump the shark. He jumped Sam Sykes.
It was very amusing. All of a sudden, I just hear this weird noise, and I look, and here's Sam Sykes carrying him across the bar.
Which is impressive for Sam's part, because, I mean, Mike works out and looks like a very dense individual, so more power to Sam. Oh my god. I mean, that's a kind of strange stuff that happens here and only here. And I'm amazed at, you know, just you could spend your entire contract. You really could. And I'm not sure how productive that would be, but I mean, between the SIF with Sweet and the parties and everything else, you could conceivably just be inebriated. If I didn't have a book that I really wanted people to read and be cogent when I talk about it, I that's an option. But it's fun. It really is. And just talking to really smart, great, awesome authors.
Yeah, I had someone come up to me and say, oh, good, an interesting person I can have a conversation with. And I was like, okay.
Are you sure?
So, before I let you go,
mm-hmm.
Do you have anything else you want our listeners to know about? Are you going to do any other cons in the future? Are you going to be anywhere locally where you're going to be signing?
I am going to be signing at Singularity & Company in Brooklyn on September 12th.
Okay. Don't know if this will go live in time for that.
Well, if it doesn't, then you missed it and it was great.
100,000 people showed up.
Other than that, you know, this is the new sort of first world problem that I have, in that my busy season of my day job is coming up, what's that?
What do you do?
I work for a financial services company.
I write
a lot of their annual reports and sales material and stuff. And
so you've got fourth quarter coming up.
And I've got some stuff coming up.
Yeah.
So, and plus I have to finish the Enceladus Crisis, and then turn around and write number 3. So. You know, I have a feeling my fall and winter will be kind of light.
I have a feeling you're going to be looking back into Mountain Dew.
I might be, which scares me. But by spring, I'm hoping to sort of unearth myself a little bit. I mean, I'm going to do some stuff locally in New York. But come springtime, when Enceladus is released, the third one will be done by then, God willing. And then, you know, I definitely am going to go to London. Because London.
I'm on the fence.
Tax write-off
for you.
This is. Do you generate any revenue at all?
No.
You got to put some ads on your site.
Even that doesn't generate any revenue. I mean, there's
all you need is like a. Well, actually, I am in no position to give you tax advice. I should really just state that now. Anyway, find some revenue, you'll be fine. But yeah, it's. That's a great opportunity to head over there. You know it. As much as I'd love to make it a family trip, it's tough because I'm going to be in a con all the time. And, you know, my wife and kid, it's not going to be as much fun. So, you know, they probably won't come with me. But unless, you know, God forbid I'm up for a Hugo or something, in which case I'm like, no, you're coming with me because Hugo.
Yeah.
That won't happen.
But so yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to try to do some regional stuff.
You heard it here first. Mike is campaigning for Hugo in the 2013/2014 ballots.
Yes, I am, for your consideration. I love those posts. I'm totally going to do one, even though, you know, the snowball's chance in hell. It's fantastic. So yeah, I mean, you know, I'm just gonna ride this. I'm gonna finish up the Daedalus series now. Mm-hmm. I think we're gonna, you know, personally, I'm probably gonna end it after 3. I'll leave myself an opening, mm-hmm. because it's fun to come back to.
Sure.
But you know, I have some other ideas I'm gonna try, and just keep playing with it. Because again, you know, this is the best midlife crisis you can have. It's revenue positive.
Well, most
cars cost more.
Most authors have a really rough trajectory, you know, from I finished it, I've sold it, it goes to print. I think you have had an even rougher one, so I only have the, you know, like, best wishes for you moving forward.
Thanks.
That it's going to be a lot easier. You've had more hellish kind of things to go through than most authors.
And I'm really happy to say that, you know, despite that, I think it's done about as well as any other debut that I've seen.
Good.
And you know, the sales stuff is doing great, and I'm just thrilled that people read it, you know. I did unlock an achievement. Somebody gave me a 1-star on Goodreads.
I'm like, nice.
Yes.
You finally. Want ones and fives?
Yeah, it's like there's ones, and I got more fives than ones, and most are like fours, you know, fours and threes. So you know what? I'm sorry you didn't like it, Mr. 1-star, but everybody else seems to be okay with it. So it's like a thing, you know. There's just, you cannot, as a writer, please everybody.
No.
I remember writing about Mac products when I was a journalist. Mm-hmm. So please, believe me, a 1-star review is nothing compared to an angry Apple fan. I love you, Apple fans. I got an iPhone.
Yep, so I'm holding up my iPhone.
So anyway.
So website, Twitter, Facebook.
All right. Website, MichaelJMartinez.net. Twitter at MikeMartinez72. And Facebook, I'm just morally opposed to. So
I don't.
That's it.
Yeah, I don't doubt it. All right. Well, thanks and congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I think it's just going to keep going and getting better and better and better.
Yeah, it's just been a blast. So
all right. Don't be a stranger.
I won't. I'll be bugging you.
Thank you for listening to the SF Signal podcast. Our podcast is available for download every week at sfsignal.com or via iTunes. Look for the link to subscribe in the sidebar at sfsignal.com, and you can also search SF Signal in iTunes to find the feed. To comment about this or any of our podcast episodes, please call our voicemail line at 720-277-9082. If you enjoyed this podcast, help us boost the signal by telling your friends. Visit the Hugo Award-winning sfsignal.com for all your speculative fiction needs. John D. and the SF Signal Irregulars offer up new content every day. From weekly mind melts featuring your favorite authors, editors, and artists from the SFNF field, to book reviews, original articles and essays, new author spotlights, movie reviews, videos, science fiction, fantasy, and horror tidbits, free fiction roundups, and the new genre-related crowdfunding roundups. Click the RSS button in the sidebar to ensure you never miss a post. The SF Signal podcast is powered by the Functional Nerds.
Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo?
Angry robot.
Wah, wah.
Thinking and crap.
And scene.